Thank you for joining the Vintage Church NOLA podcast. We are a movement of truth, love, and community. For more information, please visit www.vcnola.com. Here is this week's message.
To be working with Mark here in the band on Sundays. You know, I never felt, I was struggling as we transitioned to be in the church here. Some of my Live Oak friends who still come, we still got a group of you, I see you. It's good to see y'all today. But when Mark invited me to come and be in the band that first Sunday, it was chaotic. I've messed up a few times, more than a few times. Mark's had to teach me about syncopation and things like that. And but that first Sunday in the band, man, I realized this has gone from just church, this new church, to being a part of my family. Appreciate Mark for that. I appreciate you guys. I gave Jordan some advice, halfway joking, pretty foolish advice. And When it came to preaching, I said, man, me and all my college friends, when we were learning to preach, we would always say, well, just start with a joke, loosen up, everything will be fine. Well, Jordan did not take that advice. He took the wise path and started with thank yous. And I appreciate that. I'm going to follow his advice on that. I appreciate you, Vintage Family, for just letting me be a part of your family. I thank you for the small groups who've opened their homes to me. I thank you to my small group now who faithfully comes, faithfully encourages. I thank you to the pastors who are here, who've become friends of mine. And I appreciate just everything that everyone has done for me there. I appreciate you guys. Now, I was in a church plant that merged in with Vintage. Our first Sunday, you actually canceled your service because it was COVID. So it took a while to transition in. I was not the main pastor. I was kind of a co-pastor. So I'd preach every now and then. And I would preach on, this was Sunday, a Sunday that I would normally be preaching. Like I said, my role was more musically. But So when I would get up and preach, I would come here and I'd say something like, you know, this is one of those Sundays when they let the backup preacher preach. They let the guy that, you know, he preaches every now and then, make sure that if the pastor, something happens to him. Well, so it's like the backup quarterback Sunday. You're going to get a lot of sports analogies, okay? So it's like, I would say that, but that is not an accurate description of what's going on here today. A more accurate description of what's going on here today is that Sunday when we played the Denver Broncos and the whole quarterback room caught COVID. Okay. And then they had that wide receiver that started. If he were to get hurt, that is the equivalent to me preaching here today, all right? There's that joke I told you I wasn't going to tell. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 12, and then I will pray. We're going to go verses 1 through 3 here. It says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that I don't want to sound clever or good. I don't want people to come away and say, oh, that was a good message, Lord. I pray that they come having interacted with your word. And I pray that they're encouraged to keep their eyes on Jesus. Keep their eyes on you, Lord. I pray that I would be hidden behind the cross. Lord, that we would find some encouragement for the new year. Be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is when we get into scripture and we get into how to approach a passage. This is a passage, it's called an epistle, which is just a letter. In a lot of letters, and we see this in a lot of Pauline literature, there will be some good teaching. There will be some good theology. There will be some good things that we see, these great concepts. We've got these great things that we're learning about and seeing. And then it comes to this part of an exhortation. Okay, I see we've talked about some good things. Now let's put it to action. That's when the writer of Hebrews, in this case, Paul, sometimes in his letters, would become the coach. I know you know how to do these things. I know we just talked about them, but I want you to apply this to your life. A good example of that, to kind of connect us to the Advent series, we were going through that great passage Philippians in Philippians 2. Adopt the same attitude of Christ. This beautiful song in there. At the end of that psalm, and I do not have this on the screen, I apologize. At the end of that song, at the end of this great, rich, theological points about who Jesus was, it says, "Therefore, my friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose." It's not just enough to just appreciate the good information. This beautiful thing about who Jesus was. This song that's been sung in the church for probably 2,000 years as Jordan was kind of going through. As we went through it for four weeks, it's not enough just to keep that in our head, but it's got to translate to our lives. Work out your salvation. Then it goes on to say, now that you know this, this is what you should look like. Don't grumble and complain. It goes through all these different things. We see it also in Romans. Romans is 11 chapters chock full of good theology. And what happens when we get to the end of chapter 11, and I'm paraphrasing here, but Paul, he sings this song and he says, "I can't fathom the ways of God. You are so high." And then chapter 12, "Therefore, in view of God's mercies, present yourselves as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your act of worship. Do not be transformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And he goes on for the next few chapters saying, this beautiful theology you have, this is how it looks. We're to love others. We're to be orderly. We're to be people who are known for worshiping God. In this passage, that's what we get to here. We get to this beautiful chapter about faith. And we get to a point where we're going to put it into practice. First thing we need to do is run together. Run together. We see that there. I'm going to take you through. The illustration today is going to be about my first race. It didn't go quite to plan, but I will share that as we go. But run together. Isn't it great that we get to do this faith journey together? Isn't it great that even on a down Sunday, oh man, we're what, 70% full? I mean, this is awesome. It's great that, like I said, people in small group, friends that I have, we get to do this together. Stepping back and see the vastness of the race. Therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses, we get to do this together. When we run on the team, when we're on the team, we have the jersey, we have the uniform. We're able to find encouragement through the coach, encouragement through other people on the team. We get to train together. We get to do all the things because we're a team. And even though racing is very individualistic, it's like an individual thing to do, it's still, there's a lot of comfort in showing up to the track with your team. It's a lot of comfort in seeing and being encouraged by them. Run together. In this passage, it specifically says we're running with the biblical characters, together with the biblical characters. It's not as much, when you read this passage, you think of a gallery. And it's really not a gallery. We're looking at their examples, the way they ran their race. Hebrews 11 is talking about faith. Faith. We see it in that first verse about faith being I'll just read it real quick. It just says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it. And it goes through and lists these heroes of the faith. Talks about Abel offering a better sacrifice. Why? Because he trusted God. It talked about Noah building an ark for something he had never seen before. Well, you just got to trust me. You've got to build this ark for something that's never happened before. That'd be like someone saying, hey, I want you to build a spaceship and you're going to go to Mars. No one's ever been to Mars. I mean, that's a hard thing to do. But Noah, by faith, followed God. Abraham was called to leave his family and follow God. Moses, I love the story of Moses. And in verse 23, it talks about Moses. Moses' parents saw him as beautiful. And when you look at the story of Moses and the midwives who said, we're going to ignore the king's decree because this life is beautiful. By faith, Moses worked. By faith, we see Rahab take in the spies, and her family was saved by faith. Because the scripture in Hebrews 11 says, because they put their trust in God, that he had something better for them. If you get down on this world right now, God's got something better. He's got something better. I hope you get encouragement from that. I hope that helps you as we go through these things together, as we go through life together. We see we're together with the biblical characters. Secondly, we're together with the historical church. The church has not through all of history, there have been times when and people that have had some bad things in the church, but for history, and we could see it through different lives of people, that people were faithful to the gospel. And it's continued to pass down from generation to generation. A couple weeks ago, during Advent, we were going through the creed at Nicaea, the Nicene Creed. That was something that was over 1,000 years ago to come up with. We joined together with the churches of hundreds and hundreds of years in worshiping God when we sing that. The faithful witness of the historic church. I used to have a little book called The Book of Martyrs. It was called Jesus Freaks, put together and when I was a teenager, I had this book. It looked all tattered, and it would tell you these stories of people that gave their life for their faith in all kinds of different scenarios. Faithful with the historical church. And then we have together with the biblical characters, together with the historical church, lastly, together with each other. Remember I said we get to do this together? We get to live this life and run this race together. I'm here today because of faithful witnesses. I'm here because of my parents and my grandparents. I'm here because we went to a church that poured into me. I'm here because there was a youth minister that poured into me and pastors that poured into me. I'm literally here right now today because of your pastors pouring into me. When I think about, and in that moment, when I thought about churches and where to go, and I can finally do something maybe different and I just have seen what we've gotten from this church. It's so great. There are faithful witnesses here. You can probably think of people. You might even be sitting with those people. You can look across the room. There are faithful witnesses in our church and in our lives. I think of Fill the Fridge. What a joyous sight to see all those green and gray shirts. A faithful witness. think a small group, I've already said this, I appreciate everything and the encouragement they are. That sometimes we try to deep dive in deep, but also we fellowship with each other. I think of one of the biggest relationships that has helped us is my wife meets with some women, and they call themselves the Hope Group, and they meet together, and they all have kids with disabilities. She looks forward to that time so much, because it's hard to go to church and have a child with a disability. She's doing great right now, though. And that's been so much encouragement, because you're talking about things about getting funding or about sending to school or just these things that are unique to our situation in life. Our friendships, we are all together with each other. So we step back and see the vastness of the race. I want to encourage you, don't get lost in isolation and loneliness. Please don't get lost in isolation or loneliness. None of us are perfect. All of us are human. All of us will let you down, but don't lose your hope and trust in Jesus. Don't try to do it alone. Pastor Dennis at Celebration Church has this line, and I would go to Celebrate, go on Saturdays when I was a youth, and Pastor Dennis used to always say this line. He says, there's no Lone Ranger Christians, and even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. He always said this line, don't get lost in loneliness. So we run together. Secondly, we run well to finish. The original point was going to be we run to win. But the more I looked at this passage, the more I said, no, we're not running to win. We're running well to finish. Running well to finish. There's strategy in running and competition. When I joined the track team, I had to make sure I had the right outfit on. I was a distance runner. I wore a very loose-fitting garments, and I wore shoes. I wore just running shoes on there. Pastor Dustin often talks about the special things he has to wear to do weightlifting. He talks about that singlet he has to wear. So when we see that, we see that. That's a strategic thing to wear. That's a strategic thing when you're weightlifting. You don't want anything. You want it all close to you, so that way you can weightlift and be effective. When we run, we're looking at some outfits. We're also looking at a diet. When we diet well, you can't just go and eat a bunch of fried chicken and run out on the race. Got a diet right. When I went in high school, I went to John Curtis. They would tell us before games, hey, look, we want you to eat this tonight, and we want you to eat that tomorrow night. You trained. You trained in order to endure. You built up endurance. I went out for the track team one year, and I'll get to the story in a little bit. I went out for the track team because I was good at running, at cutting weight for wrestling. I liked running, I liked rollerblading, I liked doing those things. And I said, you know what, I'm not doing anything, I'll go out for track. Your generations director was out there with me in track. And so we went out for track together. And we had to make sure we were in shape and ready to run the race. So we got a strategy for running. We also have a strategy for living out our faith. Look at what it says there. Let us lay aside every hindrance and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Lay aside hindrance. Some of your versions may say, lay aside every weight. When I cut weight for wrestling, I would wear these little things around my ankles, and I would make sure that I was getting the most sweat, and I would wear this suit to where it would make you sweat because you were cutting weight for wrestling and you wanted to kind of build up some muscles. When you're running distance, you don't want to do that. You want to be as light as possible. Lay aside the weight. Imagine I go out to the race and I have the ankle weights on. Well, then I'm surely not going to win. I'm surely going to have a hard time running there. If I had that big bodysuit, yeah, I wouldn't last very long with that bodysuit on. We take off the weight. lay aside the weight. When we think about it in our lives, every 9:30 every Sunday morning, I get a little app reminder on my phone. I don't know if y'all get it. But it tells me how much time that week I've spent on apps. And look, I'm not saying anything bad about the cell phone. It gets me through many days when I'm doing some mindless work at work. But sometimes it's convicting. Sometimes it's like, I spent how much on what? Some of that might even be considered as weight. Or it may be a little more of an abstract thing where we worry. Or where we let thoughts and things keep us occupied instead of maybe forgiveness, instead of getting something right. We worry about it, or we worry about something we can't even control. So we lay aside weight. Secondly, we look at the sin which so easy, which clings so closely. The sin that clings so closely. If the hindrances and the weights are actual weights, well, then the equivalent of running for this would be like tying your shoes together. Have you ever run a race with your shoes tied together? No, it's ridiculous. You can't get anywhere. That would be very hard. You'd be hopping the whole race. Sin, that's what sin does to us. It takes something that God created for good. It takes something that is supposed to be done in the right way, and the devil perverts that. And it ends up hampering our race. It ends up taking us out of our race for faith. It ends up weighing us down, and not only weighing us down, it takes us out of the race. There are things that happen that will take us out of the race. We see the sin that so closely that clings so closely, and then another strategy for living out our faith is having a mindset of endurance and perseverance. A mindset of endurance and perseverance. That's basically understanding what you're doing, understanding the race, understanding what you're doing as far as is running. And in our lives, it's understanding what the main and the important things are. But understanding what you're doing in the race. If I went out for the race, for my race, which was 8 laps around, and started sprinting, yeah, we'd have some problems pretty quickly. But understanding the race, having that mindset of endurance, look at what it says there. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. There's a race that lies before us. Run with endurance. So we run together. Let's look at Paul's example here of running to win. Paul's example of running to win. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, it'll be on the screen there. It says, not that I have already reached the goal or already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as to taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, reaching forward to what's ahead, I pursue as my goal the prized promise by God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. He pursues as my goal the prize promise. He forgets what's behind and continues to what's ahead. His mindset is to keep going in the race, to run well. In another part, when he talks about the race, he talks about don't disqualify yourselves. Don't disqualify yourselves. Run within the rules. So we have run together, run well to finished, and then lastly, run to Christ. Run to Christ. I told you I would tell you the story of my race. In my race, I thought I would be fine. My first race out there, I had probably trained for a week, but I thought I had trained for way longer than that by trying to cut weight. So as I got out there to the field, I started the race. You know, the gun goes off, we start going, and I realized very, very, very soon in that this wasn't going well. I tried to keep up with the pack because I was trying to play, I was trying to just to do the race like I thought I would do it, and I started to fall back, and I started to fall back, and I started to fall back. Things weren't going to plan. Eventually, I was all by myself as I fell way back of the pack. I knew that something had to change. Something has to. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this race. This is getting tough. As the race went on, I started to hear a few heckles from the crowd. I can't believe 15-year-old boys do this to each other. And I start to hear some heckles, some jokes. And I just knew I was in a bad spot. Sometimes things don't go to plan. Sometimes things happen, bad things happen. Sometimes we think things are supposed to be a certain way, but they're not. Reality happens. Focus on the main thing, Jesus. When we think about that focus there, all those things happen, we start to panic. I know in the actual race, I started to panic. I didn't know what to do. So, because just things happen. Focus on the main thing of Jesus. He's there for us. He cares for us. He's given us examples. He knows that things aren't going to go the way they're supposed to go. Bad things happen. We get bad phone calls or bad text messages that tell us horrible news. We live in a fallen world where we deal with sin and the effects of sin and death and just horrible things. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Where's your focus at? I pray throughout all of those things, your focus continues to be on Jesus. Why do we keep our eyes on Jesus? Look there in verse 2. It says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy laid before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was the fulfillment that they were looking for in Hebrews 11. Jesus was the fulfillment of that. We see these different words used in different translations. Your translations might say some different things. We see that Jesus, in the NIV paraphrase, is the pioneer and the perfecter. In the ESV, the founder and the perfecter. In the NASV, the author and the perfecter. The KJV, the author and the finisher. So which one is it? Yes. Yes, all of them. He's all of those things. It's so rich when you see some different translations because they take that Greek word and then they say, this is how I feel like it. It goes, I think he's all of those things. I like how the book of Revelation classifies Christ. He is the beginning and end, the Alpha and the Omega. He fulfilled it. He started our faith. He is the substance of our faith. And he is the finished product of our faith. And the way he lived, his example of living, we see that he, like it said in that passage, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. His life brought him to the cross to be crucified for our sins so that we can put our trust in him. Just some context real quick about the Jesus we see in Hebrews. The context, this whole book of Hebrews is all about Jesus. And it's all about who he is. See, these Hebrews, the recipients of the book of Hebrews, they were having a hard time just understanding who Jesus was. And it is difficult sometimes to understand who Jesus is. There's so many things said about him. And we come to Scripture and we see it. And we see that Jesus, when it talks about in Hebrews 1:1-3, that Jesus was the fulfillment of God's word being spoke. He was the very nature of God. Hebrews, it continues on to say he was better than the angels. He's the best sacrifice. He's the best high priest. He's the best for our souls. He gives us a better covenant, the best covenant. All of these things, Jesus was the perfect person. and we're to look to him. And when we look to him, it's not in judgment as far as you're not good enough. We look to him for motivation. We look to him for his example that he gave us. Well, we look for him to have a relationship, to continue on this race that we have. Lastly, I want to say, when we talk about running for Christ, don't give up. Don't give up. So back to my race. What started to happen in the race was, as I ran, I started to hear some footsteps from behind me. I was getting lapped. And lapped. And people were coming by. The pack came by me again, too. And as we ran, I got lapped, and I was just desperate. I didn't know what to do. I just kept running. I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. I knew it wasn't even close to being good enough for, like, anything. I just kept running. If I counted correctly, I got lapped by the first place person 3 times. It was bad. As I'm running that lap 7, and I'm coming around that lap 7, I hear a voice say, "Don't let him pass you. Don't let him lap you." So my pride came out, and we sprinted for about another 700 meters or so. About 100 meters or so to the finish line, right? And he beat me to the finish line, so he lapped me. And as I crossed the finish line, in my mind, I said, maybe I can act like that was my 8th lap. But everybody knew, all of my teammates knew it wasn't the 8th lap. It was only my 7th lap. Except for that guy that we were racing to the finish line. He looked at me in kind of disbelief, like, "Where are you going?" And I even said, "I've got another lap." I don't know how I even got that out. So I start walking for a second, and I said, no, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to represent my school. I'm going to represent who I am. I'm going to represent my family well. And I just kept going at a very slow pace. I was worried they were going to pull me off the track. But that's what it was going to have to come to, though. I had resolved to it. And mercifully, they let me keep going. I went around the far side of the field. We had started where the grandstand wasn't. The grandstand was on the other side. I just plodded my path, exhausted, spent, had nothing else to give. And as I made my way by that grandstand, I had a few teammates that came out. Pretty sure my generations director was there too. And they came out and they ran that last half a lap with me. Once again, like 15-year-old boys do, they were laughing and having fun, but they were there to encourage me to not quit, to not finish. What a perfect view of the church. Things don't always go as planned. Things don't always go the way you think they're going to go. But there are people for you. There are people there with you. I want to read this quote from a book that was so instrumental in development of me as a young person in college. And this is from the chapter Continuance. "Many of these development areas are just plain desert," talking about just struggling to go on. "No spiritual activity, no service, little or no fellowship with him or others. What prayer there is has to be forced, and sometimes is dropped altogether for months at a time." Some of you may be in this season right now as we talk. "Bible study finally grinds to a halt. Everything seems to add up to nothing. It's during these necessary times, that the believer often feels that God has ceased to carry out his part, and there is little or no use in seeking to continue on. And yet there is a hunger of God deep within that will not allow him to quit. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." If you have a relationship with Jesus, he's not going to let you go. Jesus said it this way, and I'm paraphrasing there. "My Father is even, I've got you,
and my Father's greater than me, and he's got me in his hands. We're all going to make it. Put our trust in Jesus Christ. If your trust is in Jesus Christ, know that he cares for you. Know that he's started a good work in you and will complete a good work in you. Continue on. Continue on. Going to Jesus. I wanted to share with this hymn. I love hymns, and I love many times they kind of build on each other. They kind of paint a whole picture. In many hymns, they'll paint this picture of faith over your entire life, looking forward to Jesus making all things right. And when I heard this song the first time, I said, that's kind of a cheesy song. That's kind of a weird song. I don't know if I really like it. But the more I heard it, the more it's come to see that this is God's work in our lives to continue. This is the untitled hymn, Come to Jesus by Chris Rice. It says, weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. And I'm going to shorten it a little bit. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus and live. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus. Sometimes when the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain, so if your sky is dark and pours the rain, cry to Jesus. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, dance for Jesus. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side and fly to Jesus and live. Man, we have such a Savior that loves us. We have such a Savior who cares. Now, where the illustration I used falls short, as I crossed the finish line, I just walked off. I had a few friends that were encouraging me. It was nice. They did not even give me a time because they had stopped keeping time of the race. But where that illustration falls apart there, because when we're in the race with Christ, when we're living out our faith, in the end, it may look a lot like the race I ran. It may look like we've struggled. It may look like we failed. It may look like there's more bad than good that comes from it. It may look like we were in the last place in our minds, or maybe the way that we feel like we did. But if we put our trust and our faith in Jesus, and he's worked in our lives and is working in our lives, when we cross that finish line, we get to enjoy his victory. I wouldn't be last place. I would have been first place. It would have been the equivalent of crossing that line and having that first place guy come and grab me, give me the medal, and say, great job. Let's enjoy the party. Let's enjoy. Come stand on the podium with me. In the end, we get to enjoy his victory because we're on his team. I pray that if you're not in the race or if you haven't put your trust in Jesus, I pray you do that today. We'll have something on the screen that you can text. I know the pastors are always willing if you were to come up or come and talk to them after church. Personally, I would love it too, is if you wanted to talk about putting your faith in Jesus. Come, join his team. I'm just going to encourage you to continue in faith through suffering and triumph as God works. Two things how I want to kind of leave you guys today. Just kind of action points here. I just want to challenge you. The next series is called Flourishing People. You'll see a promo about it, or Dustin will come and talk about it in a minute. One of the things I've really enjoyed in my time at Vintage has been that first sermon series of the year. I think Dustin does such a great job with that series. I'm going to ask you to lean into that. because those series have changed my life. One was about the rule of life. And man, I was working on that this week for 2024. That changed my life. Considering God in my planning and how I do things changed my life. I beg you, and also with the Deep and Wide series, when we did that, that was early in the year, and talking about ministering to people, but also having time with God. I want you to lean into this next series, Flourishing People, because I think God's going to change your life if you lean in. Lastly, there's a book that Pastor Weaver put together. When I went through it, it was kind of in the middle of the year, and I said, this would be a great book to read at the beginning of the year. There's copies of it out there. Refocus, and it helps you to refocus on who God is and who Jesus is and what God's called us to do. So as we end today, as the band comes forward, I'll pray, and then we will we'll continue to worship. Dear Father, I thank you for this time to preach. I thank you for the faithful witness that this pulpit has been, but Lord, not only that these people are in here. I thank you for their faithful witness. Father, I pray they put their trust in you. Lord, if there are any here that need to get right, that are just finding it hard to go on, Lord, I pray that there would be comfort, and I pray that they would continue on. Father, I just pray that you be with me today, Lord, that you would be with all of us today as we just celebrate the end of 1 year and look forward to what you have in store for us next year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining the Vintage Church NOLA podcast. If you're enjoying this content, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll see you next week.